Hi, everybody. The Boop Show today is brought to you by our friends at Squarespace.com. At Squarespace.com, rather. You can go to Squarespace and get a fantastic website for very little money. All the tools, all the templates, everything you need to make a fantastic website and a great presence online. And you don't have to hardly know a thing. Go to Squarespace.com right now and use the code BOOP at checkout. That's B-O-O-P at checkout. And save 10% on your sign up. That's BOOP at checkout at Squarespace.com. This is the Boop Show, some gaming news you can use for February 15th, 2016. I'm Scott Johnson. Hey, everybody, it's Scott Johnson here. It is the Boop Show, and glad to be back. Second week of doing it live. So, hello, live chat room. Both video and audio people listening and watching, partaking in a little bit of magic on a Monday morning. I think that's overstating it a bit. So I have been deep, deep into Overwatch since the beta came back last Friday, was it? Thursday? What day did that come back? Wednesday? Tuesday? Whatever it was after our last recording of this. We talked about it briefly here that it was coming, and boy is it back. So to surmise exactly what they did, or to give you a brief description of what they did, here it is. They brought the beta back, which is good. That means we get to play it. It includes the progression system. So you're leveling, you're unlocking loot boxes wherein you might win a bunch of things. You have a potential of getting anything from common to legendary type items. So if you're familiar with RPG mechanics at all, your sort of white, blue, yellow, purple, orange sort of scenario of, common to best. That's kind of what they've gone for here. Except the items here aren't new guns, they're not new weapons, they're not armor necessarily. Not in the way you'd normally think. It is all cosmetic stuff for the most part. There's audio, so sometimes it's like, oh, here's a victory thing you'll say from now on when you say something. Or when you pop your ultimate, instead of saying, step through the iris or whatever, you might have Zenyatta say something like, I'm a cheater and I'm way too accurate or whatever. It's not really what he says. But you can unlock these things and sometimes multiples of those things per loot box opening. So when you open those things, you get 5 items. And if the box is glowing purple or blue or orange ahead of time, you know that there's a legendary or something better than common in there. And basically, the box, you click it, it explodes. By the way, get one with every level. You click it, it explodes, and plumes out of it these 5 items, and they land down on the ground, and then they materialize into what they are. And often, they are sprays. So if you played Half-Life 1 or 2, you'll know that you could spray a logo on a wall, right? That was a thing you could do. You can do it in Counter-Strike and other things based on that engine. They've done the same thing here. But there are a ton of those to unlock, and you unlock those again getting them through these loot boxes and also buying them with in-game currency that you earn over time. I spent a little time with both, getting just loot boxes and spending in-game currency on the items. The theory is that when the shop goes live, there'll also be ways to spend real money on... My thinking, it'll be real money on in-game currency that you will then spend on items in the game. So think of it as gold or whatever. They're basically credits. I already had something like 300, 400 credits, and I spent some on some skins and stuff. But anyway, so you get these sprays, or you may get these audio things, or you may get a intro animation, or a victory animation, or a victory pose. Things that during the game, like, for example, Gorath, our good buddy Gorath, unlocked McCree's victory animation where he's standing kind of off in the distance. A tumbleweed passes by him. There's like this kind of like Western sound, whatever that is. And then he whips around and like puts the gun right in your face like super fast. That is not the default animation. That is, and that's when he gets a play of the game. So you can unlock new ones of those. I have a conspiracy theory about this I'll get to in a second. And then the thing that people are probably most excited about are the skins that you can unlock through this method. And again, they range from common to legendary. The commons tend to be just color changes and things for the skins they already have, just different color coordination. all the way down to the most legendary hard to get stuff are totally different skins. Like there's one of Reaper looking like a Day of the Dead guitar playing bandito looking dude. There's one for what's his name, Roadhog, where he looks like a pirate and he's wearing a shark's head on his head. He's got like a anchor instead of a hook. Looks like a pirate guy. And there's different stuff for everybody. I've yet to get one of those legendary, hardcore legendary ones. I'm looking forward to that. But here's my conspiracy, and then we'll move on to whether the game's still good or not. It seems like everybody I know, including me, all the skins that I've been unlocking are for characters I don't play very often. So I've got a Genji skin, the ninja guy. I've got a skin for D.Va, who I play occasionally, but not that often. All my core characters I play the most, I'd never get skins for those guys, but I'm always getting skins for the ones I don't play very often. And I wonder if this is the game trying to push me to play more characters. I'm not even saying that's an insidious or bad thing. I'm just saying it's noticeable, and I could be wrong, but what better way to get me to play Winston than if you give me his mustache safari thing that he has, which is totally rad. I want that thing really bad. But I play Winston already, so I'm probably not going to get that. That's my conspiracy, and I'm sticking to it. Anyway, here's the bottom line of this. I had all kinds of gaming plans last week. I was going to get much further in Tomb Raider. I was going to play a ton of Heroes of the Storm. I had all kinds of plans for Invisible Inc. and two or three other indie games that came out. I really want to play Firewatch. Like, I had all these ideas of where I was going to put my gaming time last week, and all of it went into Overwatch. I played hours and hours and hours. I'm way high in levels compared to, well, I'm about on par with everybody I was playing with, but constantly finding friends online, constantly having games, like nonstop, no holds barred, kicking the butt, good time. And I love it. I haven't felt this way about a shooter or that kind of gameplay loop since like back in the Quake days. So for whatever it's worth, it's just completely, I'm absorbed by it. Now, some may say, Scott, you're a total Blizzard fanboy. Of course you'd like it. You'd like it if they farted and bottled it and handed you the bottled fart. No, I don't like games that aren't good. I don't really, this isn't to say Hearthstone isn't good, but I don't really play Hearthstone. It's not my kind of game. Lots of people play it. I don't play it. But, oh man, we're in real trouble when that thing hits retail because freaking Overwatch, dude. They've tapped into some primal something with me. And it isn't Winston's ultimate. Get it? See what I did there? All right, let's dive headlong into the news stories of the week. There's a few things here I want to get over or talk about. And as always, you're encouraged to call in if you have any comments or thoughts. Anyone listening live, you can call us right now at where's the number? Oh, gosh. What did I do with the number? Scott, where'd you put the number? You'd think I'd remember this, right? I don't know why I don't have the number handy. That seems really dumb. Whatever it was I gave you before. Chat room, keep repeating it in there, will you? Until I find it. I'm an idiot. I don't know what I did with it. It was right here. Oh, here it is. It's on the screen too. 801-895-4724. 801-895-IRAGE. And you can call anytime. With any thoughts, whatever you want to say, I'm here for you, brother and sister. Assuming a girl might call. The ESA has lauded the late Antonin Scalia, the Supreme Court Justice who died over the weekend. 79 years old, died in Texas. Natural causes, they're saying.
Or were they?
Anyway, the Entertainment Software Association is the one that are saying nice things about him. Now, say what you want about Scalia and his variable political stances that may or may not agree with your particular proclivities. There are plenty of arguments to be made there. They are speaking specifically about him being a friend of the video game world. Here's the statement. The Entertainment Software Association joins those who salute the service and mourn the loss of Justice Scalia. In 2011, when our industry defended the rights of creators and consumers of video games, before the U.S. Supreme Court, it was Justice Scalia who authored the historic majority opinion He declared with no ambiguity that video games, like books, movies, and other forms of expression, are deserving of First Amendment protections. It was a monumentous day for our industry and those who love the entertainment we create, and we are indebted to Justice Scalia for so eloquently defending the rights of creators and consumers everywhere. If you guys don't remember this, this was the Brown versus Entertainment Merchants Association, and it was basically saying that, well, it was part of that California law, I guess, that was like 05, 06 maybe, where they basically, it was criminal penalties to anybody who sold violent video games to minors. That was the deal. So if you were you worked at a GameStop, you're 19 years old, and a kid comes in who's 15 and says, I want Grand Theft Auto 3, and you sold him that, you could have had like severe hardcore jail time penalties. And he felt like it was too much. California was the ones regulating the games, and they started to think of it as like cigarettes, liquor, that sort of thing. He said in the 7-2 majority that they're like books, they're like music, they're like film, and they should be protected under the law, that there is precedent from these other forms of entertainment and media, and that respecting freedom of expression means respecting that of video games as well. So on that note, despite what you may say about any of his other views, conservative or otherwise, got to give him some credit there, right? He's okay. If you disagree, call me, 801-895-4724. E3's PC Game Show returns in 2016. Do you guys remember that nightmare from last year? Again, I don't want to lay this at the feet of Day 9, who I think did a kind of a bang-up job. Did great with what he was given. But that was a horrendous use of time. I thought it was very bad. And I was so excited about it because I thought, PC gaming, it's back in a way that's, you know, formidable and influential, and it's such an indie showcase, and Steam has done wonders for it, and it's the platform du jour for upcoming VR things and existing VR and blah, 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 blah. And I thought, yes, this is their chance to really showcase themselves and get up on stage and do like a Microsoft or Sony or even Nintendo level presentation and really blow everyone's mind. And instead, it was just kind of terrible. If you recall, it was pretty bad. Anyway, it's coming back, the PC Gaming Show, and PC Gamer and other sponsors, including AMD, will be returning. Now, if I was AMD, I would try really hard not to make it such a commercial, because do you remember how they did this? They'd have like 2 or 3 interviews with like real game developers and publishers and luminaries in the business. Very interesting stuff, showing off games, whatever. And then an AMD guy would come in and sit down and go, well, let me tell you what we're doing lately with the... It was just like a really blatant sort of commercial thing. Now, I can deal with like one of those, but they ended up like coming out 3 or 4 times throughout the night. It just felt like the suits were itching to make sure they got as much crowd time as they could and didn't see the value in trying to speak directly to PC gamers who see through that stuff like it's, you know, it's transparent. So, I don't know. That was the impression I had. I'm coming at it purely from an observer and a gamer who loves that stuff and wants to see this sort of stuff do well. I thought that was handled really poorly. So anyway, they're back. We'll see if they decide to make it bad again or not. I don't dislike AMD. I think they make some fine products. I just don't have any interest in having them shill the entire time when that floor space or that showtime could be used to show off more games. Let's see. It will start noon Monday. That's June 13th. This is the slot traditionally held by Electronic Arts, so this does move them up in visibility a little bit. Do not know if Day 9 is returning. That part has not been confirmed that I know of. But yeah, there you go. Are you looking forward to that? Is it the thing you care about? If it is, they've got your number. Fallout 4 survival mode is getting a complete overhaul. Here's what their Twitter says. They don't give a ton of details, but we can only sort of guess. Now, survival mode being like hardcore mode, right? Where stuff's way harder and you got to do things that are harder than the normal game and you can't just save anywhere and all that, right? So you start out, you could die real easy. You got to be careful. Here's what the tweet says. We're also doing a complete overhaul of Fallout 4 survival mode. Food, sleep, diseases, danger, and more. Stay tuned. Now, that doesn't sound like they're completely redoing it, then I don't know what does. And I really don't know what that means in the end, other than I can't play that way. Like, ask me how many hardcore characters I've had in Diablo, and I would answer you, one. and he died really early, and I didn't like the experience. I like to keep things, man. I understand people who like it. I get it. I know it's a whole new level of visceral gaming, but I have a whole new level of visceral living that I have to live. I'm swamped busy all the time, and the last thing I need is one more reason to be stressed out. And the idea of a hardcore character just stresses me out. So, no thanks. No sale. Destiny's sequel is coming in 2017. That is after one more expansion this year. Getting a proper sequel, Destiny 2. Think they'll just call it that? Maybe they'll call it Destiny's Child. All right, that's a bad idea. Don't do that. I really hope they don't do that. Anyway, 2017. Publisher Activision confirmed today in the earnings report for its 2015 fiscal year. Activision also said, according to Polygon.com, that Destiny developer Bungie expects to release a large new expansion of the game for 2016, something akin to what they did with Taken King, or maybe more. Man, that game goes through such weird cycles. Like, it launches and has a very poor impression. Things pick up a bit and players are very happy about that. Then it goes into this period of lull and nobody cares anymore. And then they come back with Taken King and everyone is raving about the changes, calling it Loot 2.0, akin to what happened in Diablo. I keep bringing Diablo up today. Like, how wonderful it is. And I think that expansion is good. I've been playing, I played a bunch of that. But now they're all talking about how it's all boring again. That they've squeezed out of that everything they're going to squeeze out of it, and they don't think the events and stuff they've done since are any good. So, Destiny 2, well, at the very least, this expansion gives them a chance to try to do right by that, but at the very most, you'll get a whole proper expansion. What that means, dude, who even knows? I mean, what is the scope of a game like that? Where do they go from here? Do they learn from what they did? Does a sequel just uproot the existing base and move them to a new game where they got to start over? Do they move over characters? Is their character progression continued from the previous game? Is it improve the engine enough to make it feel like a new thing visually and everything else? Like, is the gameplay tweaked? Like, I don't know what this is. Because this isn't an expansion. This is them saying proper sequel. Well, sequel has some implications beyond just a number, right? I don't know, it feels like it's going to be hard for them to live up to. And that Sparrow Racing thing they did in December, that didn't really take off. They've got something called Crimson Days. I think that launched this week. And people are saying that's just not enough. We need like a full-blown game, or at the very least, a really great expansion. So I know, you know, this game comes up on here a lot, and I've been very up on Dana and its lifestyle or its lifespan. I'm not feeling overtly negative toward Destiny, but I'm just curious where the players are right now and what they think. So if you're out there listening, live or otherwise, and you want to let me know, tell me, because I'm interested. The Watch Dogs sequel also coming. That will be before April 27, says Ubisoft. So my guess is early next year, like February or something, maybe a year from now. A Watch Dogs 2 game, Watch Dogs 2, rather. And they confirmed in their earnings report yesterday for the 2015-2016 fiscal year. That's third quarter. Let's see. So it says here they laid out their plans for its 2017 fiscal year, which runs from April 1st, 2016 through March 31st of 2017. I didn't realize that. Is that right? Is that always everyone's fiscal year? That was different than that. Anyway, their slate of titles coming up include the following: For Honor, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands, which I think looked pretty good when I saw it, South Park, The Fractured But Whole, and the next installment, quote, of Watch Dogs. According to the earnings report, Ubisoft did not provide any details on the platforms or anything else about the game, other than it's coming. Here's my guess. You want me to go crazy here? Let me tell you how crazy this is. I'm guessing it'll be available on PC, console, and maybe some sort of mobile thing. Now, I know that sounds like crazy talk, but I think I might be onto something. There's no new Assassin's Creed game this year. They did announce that as well, and Ubisoft confirmed it. Here's a quote from them. This is probably a good thing, right? We don't need this every year. We also updated our development processes and recommitted to making Assassin's Creed a premier open world franchise, according to the company. We're taking this year off to evolve the game mechanics and to make sure we are delivering on the promise of Assassin's Creed offering, it's weird how the possessive works there, offering unique and memorable gameplay experiences that make history's everyone's playground. That's a strange sentence. Nonetheless, take your time, man. You don't have to do one every year. And you know what? You're coming off a pretty good, successful game. That newer one, what's it called? Syndicate, did really well. People like it. Reviewed well. Critically well-received. Sold well. Kind of made up for the dismal French one that came before it. So, what was that called? Unity. So, just take your time. We don't need it every year. And this gives me an excuse. Like, when I hear there's a new Assassin's Creed coming out, if there's nothing else to play, then maybe I'll get it now. Because I do like those games. But when there is a year as crowded as 2015 was, and already this year, how crowded it is, and you're telling me they're doing them year after year, I can't get excited about it. I just go, I'll skip this one and wait for the next one. I'll wait for something amazing. But when you tell me I've got a whole nother year to think about things, I will probably pick up Syndicate now. I mean, I actually think this will translate into sales of that game. Weirdly enough, at least a segment of the population, people like me. Are there other people like me? Mad Cax? Mad Cax. Oh, so, sorry. Arjuneer says, 5 of my friends' jobs are on the line because there is no AC this year. What do they do, Arjuneer? Are they, this is in the chat room, I'm reading this. Are they, were they on the project and now they're on just kind of on a holding pattern or something? Or how does that work? Or are they, maybe they're outside contractors or something. But look, I understand. I mean, you don't want to see a company suffer. Well, you don't want to see a development team suffer, right? You want to see them keep their jobs and do good work and everything like that. But I don't think you can do it at the expense of them just shoveling this thing out every year and having it be mediocre as a result. I mean, this is them acknowledging that. Oh, they work at Ubisoft Quebec. Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you say that they're not laid off, though. They just don't know. Why wouldn't they be working on... See, that's the part I don't understand. And maybe all developers work differently, but why wouldn't they just still be working on it? They're just having an extra year to work on it. I mean... What's the difference? They're just not rushing it out. You know what I mean? I don't know. He could tell me more. Mad Cats in the news. They've laid off... speaking of layoff, geez, what a totally appropriate thing to bring up. They're laying off 37% of their staff and restructuring, and they say it's because Rock Band 4 completely disappointed. They are the co-publisher. I didn't know this, actually, until I was digging around for this, but Rock Band 4 was co-published by Mad Cats, and that coinciding with, I don't know, here, didn't I say it on the show? I don't want to take credit for things, okay? Look, I'm not here to be patted on the back or told that I was right, okay? But I think I kind of called this. Didn't I say on this very show, perhaps other shows, that Rock Band and to some extent Guitar Hero, that band games were not ready for them to make some huge triumphant return. Some mega-selling smash success return. I knew it would be, there would be a handful of people excited about it, but it would not have the fervor that they once did in like 07, 08. There was no way we were going to get back to that. And I think that's played out the way I thought. And I'm basing it almost purely on my own temperature with it. I'm just like, I think I got enough of that. I think I'm good. I played a lot of Weezer on the drums and did my fair amount of Journey on guitar, and I think I'm good for now, and I don't want to fill my living room with a bunch more plastic. Like, there are a lot of reasons why I came to it that way, but I think a lot of people did in retrospect, because neither sold very well. And arguably, Guitar Hero is the more innovative, cooler title. I guess I'm just not surprised. And it's unfortunate for Mad Cats, because this means big restructuring, corporate restructuring to the tune of 30% of its workforce being laid off, which is a lot. They did earnings report as well. So here's the nuts and bolts of it. Oh, first of all, quick update here. Archneer says right now, nobody really knows if something is even coming. Now they do work for other Ubi studios. Interesting. So the Ubisoft thing. See, that's the stuff you don't get in the news reports. When they say, oh, we're going to take our time and polish this thing and make it the best Assassin's Creed ever. What you don't hear is behind the scenes. It's like, all right, guys, we're overstaffed. We need to let people go, or we need to push them to other projects, or... Like, there's always that stuff, right? No matter where you go, what you do. Anyway, During the third quarter, ran October through December 2015, Mad Catz recorded a $65 million in net sales. That's the second highest in history, and that included strong Rock Band 4 sales, according to them, but that was lower than originally forecast. And nobody's saying it was a failure. It's just not the success they wanted. It would be like, what was it like? Avengers 2 didn't do the money. They see that as an abject failure because it didn't do what they expected it to do. It's the same kind of deal. Anyway, because of that, a lot of retailers did discounts, which meant Mad Catz got less money because they had to get, you know, they had to do give money back. That caused sales slowdown all during the period of Thanksgiving through Christmas. And that's a lot of hardware to have out there that isn't selling or going for discounts, which means you got to subsidize all that. So in the end, they took kind of a hit and they're going to have to let people go. And I think that's sad. I don't like any of that. Finally, another sad bit of news. Well, I don't know why I put all this in here today. I guess that's all that's been going on, but game trailer shut down after 13 years. 13 years. I remember first going there. It was like pre-YouTube when YouTube, you know, YouTube's now where you get all your trailers for everything. But I used to go there and just like download huge MOV files and watch these like high-res trailers for the original, you know, Uncharted or whatever. And man, I thought that was great. And then they kind of evolved and they became a site that did reviews and all kinds of other coverage. And they did a lot of show stuff where they would be there on site at E3 and have a lot of interviews. I think they were killing it. They were doing a really good job. Well, you know why nobody can call in?
Sorry.
If you've tried to call, it's my fault. And if you haven't gotten in, I'm just sitting here thinking nobody's tried. Now I can see that some have because there's a bunch of numbers in here. I kind of had to have this software up and able to get calls. Good job, Scott. Professional as always. Always nailing it. If you call now, it'll go through. I can promise you that. Anyway, they are shutting it down. Editor-in-chief Brandon Jones tweeted the other day, says, "Today is the last day of game trailers. I wish it wasn't so. The site was posting its standard fare video reviews and trailers, even though he had announced this." It's all very sad. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, this is Bagheera.
Hey, Bagheera. How you doing? Sorry, dude. I didn't realize my calls were down. So thanks for calling back. What's up?
I'm looking at this Fire Emblem Fates on the website here.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever played Fire Emblem before. But
I did. I played the last 3DS one, and I really enjoyed it, but I didn't finish it.
Yeah, I love them. Have you noticed in the past few years, like, DS has these games where they'll do with Pokemon different things where they have two versions of the game that you can buy.
Yeah, like Pearl and Gold or whatever, Silver and whatever they do. Yeah, yeah.
So they're doing that with the Fire Emblem, and they have the Birth. You can go with Birthright, but this is interesting because I thought at first it would just be like different costumes or something, but I'm looking at it and they say if you go Fire Emblem Conquest, then it's a more, it's a harder version of the game for people that are more versed in it, and if you go with Birthright, then it's easier to play and easier to level up. And then they've got a third one which you can download later that'll be a third
version of the game. That's crazy.
and they've got it amiibos, and they've got online multiplayer and all this other stuff.
Wow, they're going
and
all out.
And of course a special edition 3DS, you know.
That's yeah, right. And get the thing themed like the game. But okay, so I heard about the differences. I only heard about the two. I guess I'm confused as to, I mean, it's the same game content. Why isn't there just one cartridge with two difficulty settings, right?
No, you're not of royal birth, and the other one you are a an upstart or something like that. But one is harder than Conquest is harder than the other, and I didn't know that until just now when I was looking on the website. So it's not just different, you know, characters. Anime characters, you know, on each side, it's actually the gameplay is apparently harder, which is a little bit better. My general question was, you know, what do you think about all these, you know, DS games that come out with two different versions of the same game?
Well, I think that's it definitely has its roots in the Pokemon tradition. they must have some huge success with that. Like, here's my thinking. They know there's a certain quantity of people that are always going to buy the latest Pokemon game or always going to buy the latest turn-based strategy. What did you just call it? What's the name of this new one? My brain just went dead. Frick. The one you're looking at, Fire Emblem. They're going to buy Fire Emblem the second it comes out, no matter how many times they make them. And what I think they bank on, I could be wrong about this, but I think they bank on people buying both because there's a certain group of people or a certain class of gamer that are going to be like, well, I can't just have, you know, Diamond and not Pearl or whatever. I got to go get both of these. Like, I think there's something about that going on. I don't know how much of that is true. I don't know. It certainly isn't double. Like, I would never get both. I would probably buy the one that's easier because that game's already kind of hard. I'm a little surprised by that. Like, to me, it's just weird because normally, even if you birthright meant you were of royal birth or whatever, and you had some advantages, this is still all stuff you could have done in one cartridge, you know? Like, they don't have to, they just say, oh, well, which will you choose, birthright or this other one? And then they would have a little brief description. Birthright means that you've got double the hit points and extra whatever, and your guys don't die or something. And then the other one would be, this is way harder. It's like hardcore mode, blah, 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 whatever. And then you choose one within the game. It's still the same game content. Like, this feels a little bit like they are trying to make sure you go out and buy two of them, and that kind of bugs me. You know?
Well, I think I'll rate the harder version later and see if just how different an experience it is, if it would have been worth it to buy them both originally.
Well, when you pick up either one, whatever you end up doing, will you call back in on a future show and kind of give your impressions of the game?
Yeah.
I'd love to hear it. I'd love to hear what you think of it and whether you think it holds up to the previous in the series.
I will if you stop shooting me in Overwatch so viciously.
I'm going to do my best, but man, when I've got grenades, they've got your name on it, and there's just little.
The first night you invited me to a game, I come out, GURP has killed Eliminated Bagheera. I come out 2 seconds later, GURP has eliminated. I'm like, this guy. All right,
dude, it's one of those games that just clicks with me. I can't explain it, but I'll see you in Durango soon enough, man. Thanks for calling. I'm irritated. I didn't have the phones on. That I love talking to you guys. Thank you for the call. That was great. Anyway, sorry, sad, and bad to see game trailers go. Those guys were great. A quick note about our sponsor, Squarespace. Squarespace.com is sponsoring today's program, and as usual, Squarespace.com is here to give you all the help you need in making a website better than you could have on your own. You don't have to go learn HTML5. You don't have to go learn a bunch of code, Python, PHP, SQL Server stuff, any of those things. Those are all still things, right? It's been a while since I didn't need that either. Thankfully, Squarespace is here to save me and you a whole lot of trouble and pain. Everything looks great. Responsive designs for desktop and mobile. That's squarespace.com. Now, here's the best part. 14 days free trial without a credit card. That's real weird. Everyone else makes you do one. They don't. So take advantage of that. Use that thing. Try it out. I know you're going to want to stay. And when you do, you use the code BOOP, B-O-O-P, BOOP, at checkout. That'll save you 10% on your signup. That's at squarespace.com and the offer code Boop. All right, time for emails and calls. Now, unlike the live number that you can call anytime at 801-895-4724, we have a phone number that lets you leave voicemails. I'll tell you about that and our email in a second. But first, we'll talk to this person. Hi, who's this?
Hey, it's Mika.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. I left you a message about it, but I was kind of curious regarding your first point about Overwatch.
Yeah.
I've been really enjoying the game, but last night I came across my first elitist.
Oh, no. I don't like elitists. Elitists are buttholes.
Yeah, they're the kind of... Well, it's kind of curious because this is a brand new game. Yeah. It's still in beta. There's not many people playing it yet. And yet they're still wondering, you know, why aren't you an expert? You know, why aren't you doing this and that? And they blame everyone but themselves.
Yeah.
And even in defeat, this game is fun. To have someone like this, it's kind of souring things. So kind of curious your thoughts.
I think every game that has a competitive aspect to it, this starts to happen. And it doesn't seem to matter what kind of game it is. In fact, sometimes I think the better the game is, the more this starts to happen. And it's unfortunate because I don't think Blizzard or any other game developer wants that to happen. Like the toxicity that exists in like League of Legends community at times definitely isn't something that Riot wanted or would support. So I don't think they have much to do with it in terms of what they can do as the developer or as the publisher of the game. However, as players, I always try to make a point of GG every time we're done, whether we win or lose. Quick congratulations message to the other team sometimes when they've done something particularly well. It's like, man, you guys really kept us out of that room. Good job. I think that can go a long way to remind people that it's possible to be civil in these environments. But moreover, I've started to notice weird little things like it's kind of a beta problem, but because the game features so many characters that are all so uniquely different from each other, people want to blame specific things about your character for their loss. So I got play of the game and had the most damage and most eliminations with Junkrat. And I'm pretty good with him. So during this match, we started the match with my play of the game. I didn't realize it till the play of the game happened, but it was when they were coming out of their door. I had a trap set. I had a remote mine set. And I had 5 grenades in the air on the way when the door shut or when the door opened. And it wasted like 4 of their guys. Just blip, 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 just killed them all because they're all dumb and ran out at the same time. Well,
and that's why I always shield people on the way out, because of people like you.
It's exactly what you're supposed to be doing. There's ways to counter everything in the game, and that's a strategy I use sometimes. And most of the time, honestly, it doesn't work because people are on to me, but occasionally it works. So at the end, after the play, this guy on the other team says, he types into the match chat and says, huh, more like spam of the game. And my feeling when people say stuff like that is like, well, aren't you the sore loser? Blaming the other guy for the thing that happened. It's like blaming the refs in football. It's like blaming the other team in basketball when you thought you got fouled and you didn't, or whatever. It's all a bunch of blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, I have full faith that Blizzard will make a balanced game that has counters to everything. Like right now, there's no doubt that like the turret meta is screwed up. Like the turrets are too strong. Torbjorn and Bastion are too strong in combination. They are brutal and ruthless. Are there ways to do it? Absolutely. Does it really test your skill? Sure. Will they tune it down? Yes, that's why we're in beta. So I think there's a combination of people don't like to lose, and when they perceive that something's OP, they like to rely on that as their big excuse. So yep. I think that some of this stuff mellows out after time, but to answer your original question, I don't know how you avoid it. It's just video games.
You can't engage them either, because that just seems to make it worse.
Yeah, no, especially those guys. Like, forget it. But I have found mostly, in a much broader beta this time, I'm noticing a lot more people are in there than there used to be. I'm having mostly positive experiences. You know, even when we annihilate somebody or we get annihilated, we're not smack talking. We're genuinely having a good time. So are they. So I actually have high hopes for the game on the whole. There's always going to be one or two, you know, turds in the toilet.
Yeah.
You just got to flush that toilet. See, like how I've taken the whole thing further. A little deeper than you expected, as always. Thanks a lot, Mew. Good to talk to you. Talk to you later. All right. So if you want to leave us a voicemail on the show, 801-471-0462, or you can call us or email us, boopshow@gmail.com. Either of those two things work. Let's start it off with a call about this.
Hey, Boop Show. Linky McScott's here. Scott, on Monday's show, you had mentioned that parents need to be parents. I couldn't agree more. I actually used to work at a GameStop, and I had many parents come in and buy their 12, 13-year-olds Grand Theft Auto. And I would always try to really say, you know, listen, this is rated M for mature. It means 17 or 18, you know, plus. And the answer I would always get was, well, they played all the other ones. You know, laws and rules aren't always made for the ones who use common sense. They're made for the ones who won't. I don't know if you can say, yes, parents need to be educated, but I don't know how realistic of a goal that is. Just my 2 cents. Thank you, sir.
I think sometimes parents just don't give a shit is the problem. And obviously standards are going to vary between households. Not everyone's going to think that shooting a guy in the face in Grand Theft Auto is something their 8-year-old shouldn't see. Those same exact parents might think that the problem there is that he's making a car move around with a hooker or something. Like there's they vary from family to family. They also vary from within the family. I think that the parents who care, though. I'm not trying to indict anybody here. I'm just saying, if you care about your kids, which you should, if you don't, hey, it's on you, man. But if you do, then look into this stuff and then make a decision on your own. But you make the decision. Don't let the kid make the decision because I played this already, Dad. I can totally play the new one. All right, well, is that, if you wanted to go that way, that's fine. The way I do it, or I always did it was, when my kids were little or littler, you know, 9, 10, whatever, I would get games that I would play with them. So they would say, Dad, I totally want to play whatever it is. And I'd say, okay, let's play it. And we'd play it together. And so we would see the outcome of whatever those content restrictions were, whether it was, language or violence or whatever it was. So we could talk about it. We could say, whoa, that seemed a little brutal, didn't it there? Yeah, that was kind of bad. What do you think that was? Why do you suppose I'd put that in there? I mean, it would be my kids who would start to think about it, not me telling them what to think. So anyway, that's my recommendation. I'm not perfect, but hey, who is?
Greetings, Mr. Johnson. This is Zero once again with a question or comment for the Boop Show. So with PlayStation VR coming out and the PlayStation Move more or less going the way of the diseased dodo, flaming pile of turd that can't be forgotten fast enough. What is your opinion of the Vita possibly being a accelerometer handheld device that works coinciding with that, because now they're marketing the Vita as a accessory to the PS4? Thoughts? Opinions? Small children holding small animals? Have a great day.
I don't know what that last part meant. I believe that I haven't given this a ton of thought. I mean, obviously the Move controllers, which everyone keeps saying goes the way of the Dodo, these will work with PlayStation VR. They are designed, PlayStation VR is designed to use the Move controllers as a method of control. The controllers also work. All of them have some positional tracking built into them in that they're accelerometers and they can tell you can sort of say, well, are they dipping right, left, forward, or whatever. Not necessarily, camera positioning. But anyway, the bottom line is the way the Vive does. But the bottom line is that the Move controllers are still a viable thing. In fact, they might, for the first time, be truly viable. Like, literally, this might be when they become the most viable they've ever been in the lifespan of the machine. So I'm hanging on to my Move controllers. I don't know about you or if you even have them or not. But as to the Vita's lifestyle or lifespan and what it could mean for VR, it's possible. But the problem is, I don't know that the Vita is going to give you any more control or nuance that you couldn't get from a PS4 controller. Because those also have accelerometers. Those are also essentially six-axis controllers, for lack of a better term. They'll do everything that your Vita would do. And because you're in a VR situation, you're not seeing the screen on the Vita anyway, so that's redundant. So I don't think you need it. I think the controllers are going to be just fine for what you're going to... what you're going to see people use that for. I don't know. Sony may surprise me and, who knows? Maybe the back screen thing where you can flick it with your fingers, maybe that becomes something. I doubt it. I think they just use controllers. Got an email from Brian H. who says, "Hey, Scott, I've been enjoying Firewatch, but kept feeling I have heard the voice of the main character before, and then I realized that it sounded exactly like you. A quick IMDb search proved me wrong, but I swear you and voice actor Rich Sommer sound very similar. Thanks for the great show." Boop. All right, so we're going to find this real quick. All right, see if this is true. Rich Sommer, Rich Sommer. Okay, here he is. Firewatch. All right, we're going to find this guy. We're going to hear him talk. Here we go. Here's his trailer. We'll let him speak. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Okay, there's a logo of some sort.
What's in this cave down here?
NFS tells people not to go too far in there. It's pretty dangerous. You're in it, aren't you?
It doesn't seem that dangerous. Whoa, whoa! Ah, no!
Henry!
I don't think that sounds like me at all. I don't think it sounds like me. Oh, he's on Mad Men. Well, that's interesting. Here, let's listen a little bit more from him. I'm going to skip ahead.
The first time that I had a dark and stormy was held a party. A party would seem to suggest you're excited.
Yeah, I know that guy. He's from Mad Men. Played a character on there. Right. I don't think I sound anything like that guy. Or do I? Chat room, you guys know? Someone in there knows. I don't know. I don't think so. Final email. This is from Johnny, who says, "Scott, Binding of Isaac is on 3DS. I had made a comment that made him think I didn't know that. Anyway, my understanding is that it was technical reasons that the new one didn't make it over there. It was a wrong report in the media. Either way, the game is on my 3DS and I think available for Wii U. Thanks, but it is unfortunate that even a caller was convinced Nintendo had blocked the game. Thanks, Johnny." I don't think that's actually true. I think that the original one, Binding of Isaac, is on there, but not Rebirth, right? Oh, crap. Now I even know less. I don't know on that, Johnny. Someone in the know will have to sort this out. Does anyone out there know what's the deal with Binding of Isaac on 3DS? Did it get banned? Did it not get banned? Did Nintendo have a problem with it? Didn't they? I don't like misinformation either, man. So I'm all about, you know, getting to the bottom of this. But how deep is the bottom? How far does it go? All right, let's get to the end of things. The end of all things. Everything must come to an end. All good things come to an end. Including today's episode of The Boop Show, which you can find at frogpants.com/boop. All our links, stuff, everything's there. You get the show for free anywhere you want it, wherever you get your podcasts. Even if you're just dragging the RSS feed link into a player of some sort. Or wherever. iTunes, Stitcher, whatever. All free. frogpants.com/boop. Boopshow@gmail.com is the email address. Voicemails, again, at 801-471-0462. On Twitter, find us at boopshow. And support us on Patreon at frogpants. Excuse me, patreon.com/frogpants. That helps this and other shows continue to survive and thrive. And as always, you can, what else? Oh, if you, by the way, you join that, you get to be in our Slack, our super selective Slack group that is all supporters of the Patreons for Frog Pants. So come on over there and give that a shot. Other gamers are in there yapping all day. Again, support us. Patreon.com/frogpants. Thanks to our sponsors today. Thank you, everybody who called in. Thank you, everyone who listened live. And to everyone at home, I'll see you next week. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.